A member of the NCUC.
Stefanie Milan, the Netherlands, a member of the Executive Committee of NCUC.
Anne Hintz, NCUC member.
Gunnar Lastbrink, an observer here, AP Rallo, and Accessibility Task Force with At Large.
Victoria McCavity, I'm an individual member of the NCUC.
Stephanie Perrin, I'm an individual member of the NCUC, and I apologize, I'm about to rush out to another meeting, but I'll be back.
I'm Dan Reed. I'm a member of the GNSO Council, and I'm the non-com appointee representing the non-contracted parties house.
I'm Larry Martinez. I'm an individual member of the NCUC.
I'm Marília Maciel from the Center for Technology and Society of FGV, Brazil, member of NCUC and NCSG Policy Committee.
Christo Helasvo, I'm a member of a NGO who is a member of NCUC. Thank you.
I'm Lori Schulman. I'm an organizational representative to MPOC, and I'm on the NCSGEC.
Okay, let me get that together. So it's Klaus Stoll, private member of NCUC. What did you call it? Organization?
I'm an organization. I represent
ANC. Yeah, that's what I mean. Organizational member of NPOC and something to do with the GNSO Council.
Don't be shy.
Please,
do you have a mic?
I am Farnak Hardcastle. I'm a student studying for an iPhD in web science at the University of Southampton.
I'm Susie Hargreaves. I'm from the Internet Watch Foundation, and I'm just here as an observer. Thank you.
Rossella Mattioli, previous member, I'm here as an observer now.
Yes, we need to. Yeah, come on, don't be shy.
So I'm Mary Wong, I'm ICANN staff and former counselor for the NCSG.
Hi, I'm Karen Schofield-Lega, and I'm with ISOC.
Thanks. Yeah, that's, I think it's not our, it's our agenda, this is NPOC. Okay, anyway, it's quite simple agenda. We will start with the report from constituency. So I think we can start with MPOC. Who can speak for MPOC about the meeting this morning?
This is Lori Schulman, member of MPOC, representing an MPOC org. We had our meeting this morning. I think we had the highest attendance we've had at an MPOC meeting, maybe ever. Which was really great to see. We had a lot of new members. We had some interested members. We had a lot of representation from different regional ISOC chapters or societies. I'm not sure what they call themselves. We spent, would say, the majority of the session discussing outreach, organizational outreach, and that there's a real need now, probably more than ever before, to get to the grassroots levels of NGOs. Because the NGOs that are out there are, there are very large ones who are very visible within the ICANN space, but there's so many smaller ones that are not active, and we are talking about ways where we can activate a more diverse set of NGO representation. One, to get multiple views. Two, to get more help. But three, I mean, with the accountability issues we've been discussing and the INA transition issues we've been discussing, it's just more important than ever. And as I said, that was probably the majority of the discussion was on how do we do outreach. And there was a definite consensus in the room that we need to do real regional outreach and that we have to figure out ways to get to regional channels for MPOC participation, which will work well for the whole community for NCSG. And we spend a little bit of time discussing that structure as well, that NCSG is the umbrella group, that NCUC accepts organizations and individuals, that, and a little bit about the history surrounding MPOC and why that was formed now more than 3 years ago. We also spoke a little bit about the discussion we had on Sunday in the policy group on the IGO, INGO issue that's coming forth in terms of possible protection for names and what that might mean to the community at large. And I don't mean a LAC community at large, I mean the nonprofit community at large. You know, one of the observations that I had made is we didn't comment on the last report as MPOC because I quite frankly felt we weren't ready to, that some of these issues, given the small amount of representation we have, haven't been vetted to the fullest extent, which is why I think we need a broader base of membership so that we can get consensus on issues that are important to nonprofit organizational concerns.
Thanks, Lori. Any question? Okay. So we should have a report from NCUC, but the chair is not here. Maybe any member from the executive committee can summarize. I mean, please, Stefania.
So we too. My name is Stefania. I'm a part of the executive committee of the NCUC, and this capacity, I'll try. I'm not prepared an actual summary, but just to give you a sense of what we have done today. We also had a very productive session with the room, pretty full, and people not knowing where to sit, which I guess is a good sign. And we started off with a very welcome visit of the U.S. government delegation, where when we discussed, of course, the usual suspect, the NTIA, IANA function transition, but we also discuss accountability and we discuss at length whether these are two separate processes or whether they should be considered jointly. So it was, I believe, a constructive exchange, even if maybe nothing very new, very groundbreaking came out of that. We also had, following that, some discussion concerning the issue of the dot wine that you are all aware of. We were a bit worried about using the domain name system as a content regulation mechanism. Then we have a visit to the Council of Europe, and in particular we discussed with Thomas Schneider, I believe it's called, the report on ICANN's procedures and policies in the light of human rights, fundamental freedoms, and democratic values. This was a particularly productive exchange in the sense that we found quite a lot of common ground between the current position of the Council of Europe, but also of these individual people, that in particular Thomas was part of the GAC, and other battles that have been fought in the past and recent past by NCUC members for including human rights reviews and mechanism in IANA workings. So we believe this is going to go forward in terms of discussion, and we are trying to imagine what are potential spaces and moments in which to take this discussion further. We also finally expressed our... We were wondering mostly what was this issue, the story of the NAT Mundial Alliance. We're very curious to hear what is going to happen in that at that level. We would like to know more, but we also expressed some... there was consensus around some concern of how civil society would be included in this, for now, still obscure plans. And I guess this is it.
Thanks, Stefania. So, any question to Stefania? Don't be shy, guys. Okay, so I guess you want to go to more substantive discussion. And then we will move to Maria Farrell, who is the chair of the NCSG Policy Committee. And she will, I think, summarize to us the meeting in Sunday, and I guess any also I think there was some update regarding some GNSO council motion. So please.
Hi, this is Maria Farrell. I'm the co-chair of the NCSG Policy Committee. We met on Sunday for 2 hours, and we had an agenda that went through some process items, particularly regarding board, the election or appointment process for Board Seat 14, and also some substantive issues, which is mostly the voting motions on the GNSO Council meeting coming up tomorrow. On the first thing, Board Seat 14, we agreed that the priority for now, this is, for those who haven't been following it, this is the board seat which needs to be filled by the non-contracted parties house of the GNSO. So they're effectively, the way the election works is there needs to be relative, either not quite consensus, but a majority in favour of a candidate, and that majority needs to be across the commercial stakeholders group and the non-commercial stakeholders group. It's been quite a protracted process, and we haven't been able to reach agreement on several candidates so far. So this group, the NCSG Policy Committee, is responsible for all of our appointments, our nominations to decision-making bodies within ICANN, and although the NCSG Policy Committee meeting was open and we had many people who were non-PC members, there was a very broad consensus that our priority for now really needs to be on agreeing within the non-contracted parties house what is our process for agreeing and appointing board seat occupants. So rather than continuing to go back and forth and discussing this candidate or that candidate, what we are going to propose to the CSG is that we look for now at coming up with a process that can be mutually agreeable and that also hopefully contains some incentive for cooperation or harmony, as I believe the CEO put it yesterday morning. So that's where we got to on that. The second procedural item was that we... we also agreed to ask ICANN General Counsel for a legal opinion on what happens if the non-contracted parties house fails to come up with a candidate. Does it mean that the current occupant, Bill Graham, continues as the board director, or will the seat remain empty? And that's pretty much what we agreed to on that item. Secondly, we talked about the appointment of a representative to the IANA Transition Coordination Committee that the ICANN staff has proposed. And it looks like, because of the division or I guess sharing out of number of seats the non-commercial stakeholders group, i.e. all of us here and our constituent members, will be able to propose a single candidate to represent us and feedback to us on what happens on that group, the IANA Transition Coordination Committee. So we agreed on about a half a dozen criteria for what that person should be. We've got about a week to put forward a person, and the process is that I am to send around those criteria to our respective groups, and people can either nominate or self-nominate, and the NCSG Policy Committee will make the decision of who we should send forward. And I should say, I was supposed to send that out yesterday, and unfortunately I was out of action, and the dog ate my homework. I've left the list of criteria on my kitchen table, but I will send that out this evening as soon as I get home so that we can get that process moving and make sure our process for getting people, a person to represent us, is fair and representative and all of those essential things. Moving on to the substantive policy questions that we discussed, the NCSG PC really is our preparation vehicle for GNSO Council meetings. While the NCSG doesn't bind any of its members on how to vote normally, unless there's a very particular and special agreement, it still is really, really useful for us all, for those of us who are GNSO councillors, to get a feel for the issues, how they're perceived by other people, and to figure out how we might vote. Actually, at this point, Rafiq, it might be useful for the GNSO councillors in the room to just put up their hand so people can identify who they are. I'm one. Fabulous. And we have Dan Reid, which is great. Okay, so on the we concentrated because we were we had about, I guess, 45 minutes or so to discuss all of our policy items. We concentrated on the issues that we're going to be voting on, so the motions rather than the items for information. The first one of those was a motion to approve a charter for policy development process on the IGO and INGO access to curative rights protection mechanisms. So this is the issue about whether, basically amending the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy and the Uniform Rapid Suspension Procedure to allow international government organisations and international non-government organisations to access and use their curative rights to access and use their intellectual property rights in those curative mechanisms. Basically, it's extending the window of the UDRP and the URS to cover IGOs and INGOs. This topic created a lot of discussion, we'll probably have discussion after this, and I think one of our experts, Kathy Kleiman, had a lot to contribute on it. I think if I'm kind of characterised the dilemma we had, it is that as a group we tend not to wish for the sort of just constantly extending, the constant push to extend property rights and curative mechanisms with no limit. But on the other hand, we do believe in the bottom-up policy development working group process. So I think if I were to characterise broadly, I think the agreement on that one, or the feeling is probably better than the sentiment rather than a formal agreement. There is, I think, a general feeling that it was worthwhile voting in favour of the charter. However, two of our members, Laurie Shulman from NPOC and Cathy Kleiman from NCUC, volunteered to suggest some potential changes to the charter before we vote tomorrow. So as to just try and accommodate our concerns. Kathy, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to give you the update that Laurie and I did work on that yesterday, and we got it back to Avery with some edits per...
And Avery has circulated that to Council.
And that's already done. That is the speed of cooperation within the NCSG. Thank you, everyone. So I guess with that in mind, it's up to those of us on the Council now to propose those changes to the Charter in the Council and see what happens at tomorrow's Council meeting. Avery, sorry.
So they have been proposed. I sent them to the Council at the same time that I sent them to NCSG and to the Policy Committee, so because I wanted to make sure that when we met tonight, the Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock to discuss motions and stuff, that they had already had them all day to discuss in their constituency meetings and their stakeholder group meetings. That doesn't mean that you all couldn't, but when I read it and I saw that these two erudite and elite trademark knowledgeable people had come to agreement, I figured, what do I have to say about it?
And just so everyone knows, the underlying issue has to do with fair use, the balance of kind of what people are protecting versus the rights of everyone else, including future organizations, to use words. And that's an issue that the non-commercial groups and ICANN have been working on since the founding of ICANN, is intellectual property versus fair use, and that kind of great tension and balance and trying to preserve it in ICANN.
What I'd like to add is Kathy and I aren't always on the same side of trademark issues in the nonprofit community. But that being said, it was surprisingly easy to come to language that we both thought was fair and right. So hopefully that bodes well for the acceptance of it by the GNSO Council.
I will certainly argue that point. You know, I'm not one that ever argues the trademark stuff because my opinion of trademarks is rather vile. But I've made that point. But the fact that the two sides of the issue could agree on these things, I haven't gotten any complaints yet from the proposed language, so we'll see.
thanks a million to both or to everyone on that one. So as I said, the NCSG councillors are not bound to vote in any particular direction, but I think it certainly weighs heavily on all of us that, you know, there is such a clear agreement across all of our, both of our groups on this issue. So that's going to give us really useful guidance tomorrow when it comes to vote. The next item that we talked about yesterday was a motion for the consideration and evaluation of the new GTLD programme. This has been proposed by Brett Fawcett in the registry constituency, and it is effectively the starting gun to look at reviewing the whole new GTLD programme and how it came about and how we could improve future, I'm going to call them cycles rather than rounds, I think, of new GTLD applications. And so on the whole, the discussion on this was, you know, that it was generally a positive move, largely because the NCSG has been responsible. And in fact, as the process was really, you know, as the substantive decision making went on, it was the NCUC way back when have, as a group, all of us managed to get the more developing country concerns reflected in the new GTLD programme. Not as much as we would have liked to, but the joint applicant support group, flawed though it is something that I think we hope we can build on as the programme is reviewed. So I think personally I'm inclined to vote in favour of that one, of, you know, triggering the review and getting things moving. And that's, you know, if and when it kicks off, and I think it's likely to get enough votes, that's a process that's going to go on for, I would say, a year or 2 years. I mean, it's going to be quite a long time. There's a lot of data to crunch. But it's something we should really keep an eye on, because there are many issues in looking at how the programme has run so far that are dear to our heart, and also in thinking about how, if ICANN continues to accept new GTLD applications, how improvements can be made in the future. So that's one to watch. Then the next item was discussion of a letter which was sent to the GNSO Council by the Board of Directors new GTLD Policy Committee. And that was, it's on this IGO-INGO issue. How to summarise that discussion? I guess this, I'll just tell you the dilemma it presented to us probably, and that's the simplest thing. We've been sent a letter by the board saying the GAC is not thrilled about about implementing a particular part of the new GTLD program to do with IGO and INGO names protections. And so the good news, I guess, is that the board wrote back to the GNSO Council and said, hey, we don't like this, can you look at it again? And the bad news is the board wrote to the GNSO Council and said, hey, we don't like this, take a look at it again. So our dilemma really was reflected in the discussion, and that was, you know, it's a good thing that we haven't just been completely stamped all over in terms of the GNSO, and it hasn't been unilaterally changed from the consensus policy, but it's a bad thing for us in the NCSG because, you know, we're relatively agreed to and behind the policy that was created. So on this one, where we came down to in our discussions were really that I think, again, we vote by conscience. I think probably several people are going to vote for the council to, one, to acknowledge positively the letter that's been received by the council from the board, and two, to say we're certainly going to look at the idea of reconvening the working group. And then the other top item really that we came on was almost a tactical consideration, which is that, as Cathy Kleiman pointed out, if in the, as the previous topic we were talking about, the IGO-INGO working group charter is agreed, that means that working group will start and we have to populate that working group. And it's something that requires an incredible amount of expertise, which clearly we have on this group, but also an incredible commitment of time. So it would be really difficult for us to staff both the new working group and also to reconvene the old working group. So I know, you know, Klaus and I had a chat about this afterwards, but I think we all generally we had agreement that as councillors we should say, okay, we can, you know, we can go along with what the council is agreeing to here, but that we should really look at sequencing these groups, that we cannot run both of them side by side. We simply don't have the manpower or indeed the woman power to run these groups. So that's going to be our challenge tomorrow, is to get the message home that, you know, this is all good and well, but if you want it done well, it can't necessarily be done now, and we're going to have to choose. So that is going to probably cause a bit of discussion, and we'll just have to see where we go on it. The rest of the items on the GNSO Council were basically update items, so I'm going to skim over them because we didn't actually discuss them. And then the final thing that we, in fact, did not discuss at the NCSG Policy Committee meeting yesterday was public comments periods outstanding. We've got quite a few of them, and we need to put names against topics. We've picked up another this morning, so I'll just tell you what they are and try and beat the drum on the list to get some take-up of volunteers to do some drafting. So number one, as of this morning, we have agreed to provide comments on the Council of Europe report on ICANN's procedures and policies on human rights, fundamental freedoms and democratic values. That's an incredibly useful and important report that has been put together by Thomas Schneider, who some of you will know is the Swiss GAC representative, and overseen by Lee Hibbard, who is a Council of Europe staffer. And it's basically about looking at the human rights agenda and governance, and how ICANN fits into that, and how it reflects those principles and laws, and indeed how it doesn't, and making recommendations. So it's something that is incredibly close to the hearts of those of us, and I look around the room and see people who've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but who've been prosecuting the human rights agenda here at ICANN. And it's wonderful to have the support and have people with some real clout and credibility joining us in that struggle. And so I think it's definitely, and they, Lee Hibbard and Thomas Schneider, made it really clear to us they want our support, they want our input. Governments will be making public comments or inputs on that document that will not be what we agree with or what we think is important. So we really need to get our side there and get it out in public. And in fact, they're going to do something which is, I think, relatively novel, which is put it on the Council of Europe site and open up a public comment box for it. So we really have a fantastic incentive to offer support, and also, I think, as we did in the meeting, some really constructive and informed critique of, of the application of some of those concepts within the ICANN structure. So that's a really, really important one. There's no timeline on that one, but I think the issue is going to be revisited in Los Angeles. And so, if we get something substantive up there within the next couple of months, I think we can really have some impact. And then I'm just going to go really quickly through the rest of them just to refresh people's memories, really, on what's current. The financial year 2015 draft operating plan and budget, the reply period deadline is 1st of July. Enhancing ICANN accountability, reply period deadline 27th of June. That's Friday. There's been a request for an extension of that deadline. And I think, it's something we would like very much to put something in on. It's going to be a challenge to do it on Friday. So hopefully we can get an extension. The other topics are, the report on serving the domain name community in underserved regions. That's something that's, I know, close to Rafiq's heart and close to my heart, and we're going to try and get some comments on that. Klaus. Thank you. Klaus has just offered to support on that. That would be terrific. Thank you. Otherwise, we've got... proposed implementation of GNSO PDP recommendations on locking a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. That is in the reply period, and that's 18th of July. So hopefully we might get someone interested in responding on that. Something that's been knocking around absolutely forever, and I'm not quite sure the status of it, it is the Who Is Requirements and National Laws. That one has kind of crept out, has a comment period deadline of 3rd of July and a reply period deadline of 1st of August. I don't quite understand the context of that or why it's coming now or how it relates to... Cathy, do you have an idea?
Yeah, it came completely out of left field. The initial comment deadline was before this meeting, and we wrote to Karen Lentz and said, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. Where did this come from? Let me tell you what it is. This is one of the, I think this is the only consensus procedure. Normally we have consensus policies. This is a consensus procedure. We knew it has to do with who is, one of the never-ending who is issues, and this came up years ago. I think Milton was on the task force around the time this was. I know I was on it when this came through, and this was supposed to be the beginning.
And I was staffing the task force when that came up, actually.
There. And so this said basically that if a registrar, probably registry or registrar, probably both, is found in active violation of their law, so if they're being brought up on some kind of charge or on some kind of regulatory notice before the court, if something's in front of them that they're actually operating illegally with the who is and the data collection, retention, publication requirements of ICANN, and this was pre-2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement. This is years and years ago. If that happens, they can come to ICANN and ask for an exception. It's the stupidest procedure ever because you don't want to be in violation, active violation ever of your law. With my other hat on as a corporate attorney, you always want to be an active, you know, you always want to be a law-abiding citizen. You don't want to know that you're violating the law. So to have to wait until you're actually summoned or tried or, you know, is awfully late in the game. So we don't know why this has been introduced now. It's come out of left field. No one knows why. I've asked a few registrars and registries who asked for this. This seems to be ICANN operating alone. We've written to them and said there are way too many who is things going on right now. The Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group is on way. We have the Expert Working Group's final reports, which are remarkably inconsistent and difficult to read. And now we have this coming out. So we're looking for other people to help. Is the deadline July 3rd or July 30th? I may have misheard.
The initial comment period deadline is July 3rd, yeah, and the reply period is July 24th, which seems incredibly soon.
And there was some hope that we could get data protection commissioners involved in this. But the goal, I think, would be to make it easier to ask for exceptions, similar to what we're seeing in some of the data retention issues. But if anyone's interested in this, we could definitely use some help. I think it is something we'd be interested in.
That's terrific. Thank you, Kathy. Okay, and so the final, there are two more public comments periods open at the moment. One is the study to evaluate solutions for submission and display of internationalized contact data. That is a study that was commissioned by the staff in support of the Internationalized Domain Name Program. It is going in parallel to, but also feeding into, the current policy development process on translation and transliteration of registrant contact data, which Amr, who's one of our GNSO counselors, is very involved with. So that it's basically comments on the study that was published a few weeks ago. And then finally, universal acceptance. Kathy. Yeah.
I was wondering, do we have anybody following this issue for NCSG? Because this is an important one. What we're going to do, whether developing countries have to translate their data, who's going to pay for that, why we're tracking registrants from developing countries, why they have to translate or transliterate. These are important issues with implications for non-commercial organizations.
About the internationalized, I think Amar is there. I think we have Rudy and so on. We have several members in that working group. Chris Dillon, who are both members of the NCIG. Dillon is not here, but yeah. D-I-L-O-N, yeah.
Yeah, so we're tracking that one pretty closely. But again, when the question of whether to vote for that PDP to be kicked off, to be launched, came up last, I think it was September, we had again this dilemma of a working group has gone through the correct processes, has come up with a charter, and we as GNSO councillors are expected to say okay and, you know, approve that. While at the same time, we as NCSG had concerns about the issue being tabled at all. So it is one of those kind of rolling dilemmas that we have in terms of we've gone through the process, we've come up with an answer, we didn't think the question was right, so do we vote to answer the question? So that's one that I guess we'll always continue to struggle with. And that's it. Final one is universal acceptance of TLD's draft roadmap, comment period deadline 18th of July, reply period 8th of August. I don't know if that's on people's radar or not. I would say it's probably a lower priority to us than some of the other items. But, you know, as always, if somebody is interested in the topic, we're always thrilled to help facilitate them drafting a comments that we can then all look at and see if we can submit. That's basically the NCSG PC report.
Thanks, Maria, for this summary. It's quite exhaustive. Regarding the comments, we can share with the members in the mailing list and ask if anybody wants to pick up a topic and draft something. For example, I volunteered for the report on DNS and this industry for underserved regions. So, and we have several volunteers. Just we need to compile all their contributions. Okay, so just checking if there is any question regarding this policy issue, if you want some clarification from Maria. Yes, Mary.
I just wanted to, this is Mary Wong from ICANN staff. I just wanted to follow up on some of Maria's descriptions just so that everybody is clear with all that's going on. I think first on the IGO issue, the as she mentioned, there's two separate discussions and two separate issues. One is in relation to the PDP that the council kicked off earlier this month to discuss curative rights protections, and that's the charter that's up for vote tomorrow. The other piece of this is a different action, as she mentioned. It's basically reinstating the earlier PDP working group to deal with the specific requests from the board's new GTLD program committee. And the meeting that she mentioned this evening for that second issue is to discuss not reconvening the working group for an entirety of a PDP, but the recommendation under discussion, and there's of course no guarantee that that's what the council will ultimately agree to adopt, is to reconvene that working group for a set period, say 45 days, to deliberate on a very specific proposal about modifying an earlier recommendation. So to the extent that that is the proposal that the council runs with, it will not be yet another full-blown PDP. So I thought that might be helpful to clarify that. And on the HUIS procedure, conflict with national laws, I'm probably mixing up the words there. Under the original procedure, I think as Kathy noted, it's never been invoked, but under the original procedure that was developed, after the GNSO approved the overall high-level policy, there is a mandatory provision that says that the procedure should be reviewed annually. So, Kathy, to the extent that the question is why is it coming up now, in fact, it probably should have come up before, and ICANN staff is merely trying to catch up, although the point about too many things going on is definitely well taken.
In the same field.
Yes. I just wanted to offer that as an explanation.
Thanks, Mary. That's quite helpful. Yes, Maria.
It's just a question about the modifications that you proposed to the charter. When you talk about the non-governmental international organizations, you mentioned a list of the United Nations Department of Public Information. And when we were discussing, we mentioned the ECOSOC list. What's the difference? And the process would really encompass only organizations that have been listed there, just to confirm if I understood correctly, and other organizations that are not affiliated with the UN or ECOSOC are not included in this process.
I'm going to have to defer to either Laurie or Kathy, who have actually written those draft amendments.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you to repeat specifically. Wait, I just missed part of that. I heard the last part. What's the first part of the question?
Oh, it's because during the discussion we listed, when we mentioned the international organization, non-government organizations, we mentioned that the list that would be used would be the list of ECOSOC, which is a list that I'm about familiar with, but I don't know the list of the United Nations Department of Public Information. So it is the correct list that is being taken into account in terms of membership of non-governmental organizations, or is it the ECOSOC list? And if the second part was if organizations that are not affiliated with ECOSOC would not be included into this particular process?
That's a great detail. I will, honestly, that piece of the reference, I don't know the answer to. I had made the assumption that it was the same list, but I can actually check that right now to make sure, because I think that's a very valid point. There are several lists. And just to clarify, we're not necessarily wedded to that list. That list is a reference point. You know, what happens as part of the discussions in the working group once it's formed, I don't know. I feel like that's important to clarify, because we did spend a lot of time talking about that list, the validity of the list, what something may mean or not mean. But I think it's a good reference point to start, because it at least opens the door to discussion. And as I said, when I turn off the mic, I will cross-check that reference to make sure we answer your question.
Yeah, quickly, please.
Well, just a follow-up, because as far as I know, although the list from ECOSOC is comprehensive organizations that have been very active in the UN system, it's really restrictive in terms of non-governmental organizations. So when I read it, maybe I misread it, but I didn't get the impression that it was a starting point. I got the impression that maybe this was the list, and it was that list and nothing else that was going to be discussed. Sorry.
Yeah, if I can add, I guess it was the previous PDP, the one that this one is derivative of, argued many, many lists and many possible definitions and many notions of many kinds, and settled on that being the list. That doesn't mean that another PDP can't decide that they want to use more list. I think you'd find resistance to a bigger list or lists that covered more entities, because that was already the general consultative list, which only had 147 names. Most people were willing to accept that. The full list of 2,000-plus names, people were a little iffier about. General definitions that had an indefinite number of names were very much vetoed. So that was the list that, after months of going back and forth, another group was able to settle on. So to think we'd get beyond it is... It could happen.
My understanding about that list particularly is because in order to get on the list, you have to meet certain objective criteria set by the UN. And one of the enduring issues across the board, because this has come up many, many times with the new .ngo.ong issue, is how do you determine who is a nonprofit? There are certain areas of the world and jurisdictions where defining yourself as a nonprofit is fairly clear. Whereas there are other areas, the way nonprofits are organized and operate may not be as clear. And this lack of clarity in terms of what would constitute an NGO in terms of how we would define it within the ICANN universe has been, seriously, probably been discussed for at least 10 years since PIR was formed. So I look at this, and again, this could be more personal than anything else. I look at this list as a gauge more than a definitive list. And the gauge is set by the criteria that are set out by the UN. But then that begs the question, because were this list to be adopted as the list, then what it would really do is impel organizations like my own to then become consultative members to the UN, consultative NGOs, because there is a process I can apply. But then in a way, it becomes a a registration system to qualify for the clearinghouse. Is that really what we want it to do? Because then you're looking at a pseudo-trademark registry, for lack of a better word. And I don't think that's what anyone wants either. So it's a thorny issue, but I'm in favor of including the list because, as I said, I believe it opens the door to the discussion. And without it, I don't know that we'd have the discussion.
Can I recommend that we take this on over a break by whoever wants to talk about it? Because I don't know much about the history of the list, but I know that INGO is actually defined as a different list.
Sorry, Matthew Shears, CDT. It can take up to a year and a half to become accredited to ECOSOC. So there are some limitations in terms of your latter point about forcing people to become members.
Right, well, I'm aware of that. It is a long process. But I think that's part of the reason why this list was accepted, without looking at the transcript directly is because there is a process, there are criteria. So if you're on this list, you're presumed legitimate versus any other means of determining who or who is not a legitimate nonprofit. But again, circular argument, that goes back to my whole point about how do you make an objective list of criteria that would cut across hundreds of jurisdictions.
Okay, so Mary, want to add something? And I guess we are reaching the 1 hour of this meeting, so maybe we need to wrap quickly this.
He just told me to speak really quickly and take very little time.
I was saying that we are reaching the 1 hour of this meeting, so Mary, want to comment? Maybe we can get other comments, but we need to wrap this.
In an attempt to sort of help any sort of offline conversations on this point, I would say that the original PDP that Avri mentioned, as she noted, for INGOs, used the ECOSOC list, general status, a special consultative status. For this new PDP on curative rights, it was expressly kicked off on the understanding that the INGOs to be privileged to this curative rights would be those that were previously indicated, meaning those on the ECOSOC list. What Marilia was saying was that the amendments offered by this group yesterday or earlier today refers to a different list, the DPI list, which the understanding is that that's actually not only a different list, it's a much broader, longer list than the ECOSOC list. Is that right? Yeah, it's a different list, whereas the original PDP and the premise of this current PDP is simply that INGOs is the list on the ECOSOC list, general as well as special consultative status.
Then I think we pointed out an ambiguity for those of us who have never read the charter before. It wasn't in there, so I didn't see it. So you might want to modify that back. Apologies for that.
I'll change it back. I have no problem changing it back, Kathy.
Okay.
There's also just complicated even more. There's also the whole situation of so-called nonprofits who represent profit organizations. For example, I think that the National Rifle Association is a nonprofit organization, and the National Association of Broadcasters, which represents corporate broadcasting. So.
I think in the past we have had discussion of the issue about non-profits that represent a coalition of profits, for-profits, right, and they do not fit in with NCSG. But you're right about the NRA probably.
Yep.
Clearly. It may have a different policy position, but it's a policy advocacy body much like the rest of us.
Last word, Klaus, for this.
Just very quickly, in that whole discussion about NGO and NGOs and things like that, I've got the feeling as a group, as the NCSG and as NCUC and as NPOC, we should concentrate on our original customers, the NGOs and the end users again, and not looking for the protection of the big cats, but also concentrating a little bit more, getting protection for the general run-of-the-mill small NGO somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the world. And I think we should get this as quickly as possible over and concentrate on that one. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy, short comment.
And just to make sure we have the balance here on the flip side, this stuff is extraordinarily dangerous from the perspective of fair use and free speech. These words are the most basic words in the English language. And they're, when we created the UDRP and then the Uniform Rapid Suspension, we tied it as narrowly as we could to trademarks because trademarks are defined. At least you have a country, a jurisdiction, you have an international class and category of goods and services, and you have a specific definition of goods and services. When I look at the World Family Organization, it's the most descriptive of terms, and it's on the ECO SOC list. What's the scope? How do they? Who can you? What's the scope of the protection? what can they shut down, what you can't. I don't think we're putting the rest of the world on notice the way a trademark does. That you're creating confusion. I don't know. We're operating in new territory, and it's going to create serious implications for non-commercial speech and for future organizations that are using basic descriptive words like youth, labor, veterans, science, just to look down the ECHOSOC list. We need to be careful.
Right, but this is, look, I just want to clarify. I mean, this is where Kathy and I diverge a little bit. Not entirely. Yes, there's a lot of descriptive words, but my understanding of this whole conversation is that it's a combination of words. Nobody's ever going to get the right to organization or women or this or that. It's how those combinations of words are used that create an identifier, and it's the identifier that we're trying to protect. So I also caution about taking that concept of these generic words and taking it so far that it goes beyond what we're trying to achieve, which is some, in my mind, some level of protection for NGOs.
Okay, thanks, Lori. I would also ask, please, if you want to intervene, just to ask to be in the queue, so just more easy to manage. Okay. So just, I think, I will get the last comment. I think we need to move on. If you have any comment you want to do, make it. I think it's still, it will be still ongoing discussion. It will start with this charter and the working group, and I think we have more to say from now. But I don't think we are going to fix it today. Okay. So, moving to the next item, which is to prepare for the meeting with the board. I asked it in the mailing list membership if what topics they want to discuss with the board. Suggested first just kind of strawman, like maybe Diana stewardship transition, maybe like ICANN accountability. I think that you suggested the trademark clearinghouse in relation, I think, compared to the IRS and the outreach done by the ICANN. And also I think Mariela suggested a privacy, but for this topic, we need more specifics, and we need someone to take the lead to explain, to brief the board, and to ask them a question. So, and also we need to discuss if we need all this fourth topic, if we can reduce them, and so on. So, it's open now for discussion, and maybe for those who suggested, if they can explain what they wanted to discuss with the board regarding this topic. Maybe starting with Kathy.
I feel like I'm talking a lot here. I apologize. Okay, so actually the suggested topic was Trademark Clearinghouse and URS. So let me start with the URS, Uniform Rapid Suspension. And if we could put both in when we talk to the board, I don't know if there's a way to modify the slide, that would be good. The issue on Uniform Rapid Suspension is we spent a lot of time. There was a team for a group called the STI, Special Trademarks Initiative, where we were kind of redrafting and rebalancing some of the concepts of the Trademark Clearinghouse and the Uniform Rapid Suspension and writing the final rules for the applicant guidebook. So we spent a lot of time putting in protections for registrants. The Uniform Rapid Suspension is an ultra-fast, ultra-cheap. 15 years ago, we thought the UDRP was ultra-fast and ultra-cheap, and now we need an ultra-faster, ultra-cheaper mechanism. And so we have the URS, and we wrote in more requirements on complaints. We wrote in more defenses. We followed what's called the nominate defenses. I'm the only geek to probably bring the applicant guidebook in hard copy. So for this meeting. And so we wrote in a number of specific defenses. Constantinos, Wendy, Robin, and myself were on this kind of special team. And so it frustrates me to no end that ICANN has trained everybody in rights protection mechanisms. How many of you guys have heard about all the training going on in rights protection mechanisms? ICANN staff seems to be out all over the place. But no one has spent a second on training anybody on the URS and how to defend yourself if you're a registrant that gets accused of, you know, if you get filed. There's nothing you can Google that shows you how to walk through some of these new procedures, how to defend yourself. And so I think it would be fair if ICANN does both. If they train, you know, intellectual property attorneys and trust me, their attorneys are already training each other. And force. I see lots of continuing legal education courses. People are spending a lot of money to train on how to prosecute, but how do you defend? And again, it's that speech issue. When somebody goes too far into generic words, how do you defend a registration? A lot of these are going to be English as a second language people, developing country people. As the new GTLDs reach the other billion people, how do they know what to do when they get a URS complaint and they have to file so quickly? It's ridiculous. So that's one of the things I thought we'd talk about to the board. Does anybody object? I'll be more tactful there.
Yes, Maria?
Just a quick question. I mean, is that something that we could, should work on creating? I hesitate to create extra work for anyone, especially you, Kathy Kleiman.
I can't afford it. I have to earn a living.
Yeah. No, well, maybe anyway, just something for the mix to think about in the future.
If I can, it has staff that's going out there training in rights protection mechanisms. I think they should train on defense under the same set of rules.
So, Kathy, you are volunteering for this?
I'll volunteer to lead the discussion, of course.
Okay, good.
I'll volunteer to write the answer, though.
You need to brief the board. That's the first step. Okay. Regarding the INA stewardship transition, who want to volunteer for this?
Who wants to volunteer to what? To talk about it now?
I mean, we need to explain to the board and to ask them several questions.
Wow.
Yep.
So you want people to volunteer to ask questions to the board or to pose questions that we should ask to the board or both?
Okay. First, to agree on those topics. We get someone to get the lead. I mean, first to brief the board and to ask some questions, but other people can ask. And also we can agree what we want to, if we want some specific question. Because anyway, just to...
Okay, well, I think one of the key questions would be that in the comment period, there were many comments that people said, if this coordinating committee and the general community is satisfied with a solution, they don't think the ICANN board should have the authority to change or otherwise veto that solution. They should simply ratify that it... is perceived by the community as a solution. And I think that's something we'd want to ask the board about, whether they came down on the right side of that or not.
I would just add that maybe go beyond perceived as an accepted solution, but maybe follow the coordination group's charter as to its working method, or... It followed that the process followed the working group's charter defining its method of operation. And just so there's a little more around it besides just saying we perceive the community as accepting this.
Okay. Any further comment on this?
Well, I just got a notice from the people organizing the... session on IANA transition on Thursday. They're sort of asking my opinion about it, and I really don't like very much what they've done. They've organized it so that they have two people from the IETF giving background and scope. Then they have invited introductory talks. Role of communities versus a coordination group, somebody from the IETF. Engaging participants outside traditional ICANN, IETF, and RIR participants. You'll never guess who they chose for that. Heather Dryden of the GAC.
What?
Defining success criteria, Kathy Brown of ISOC. And then the relationship of the work on accountability and NTIA transition, Becky Burr, ? Then they would have an open mic for about an hour. So I've already expressed some objections to this, said that, you know, civil society is absent as usual. And they said, well, are there any questions are parts of this program that you would like to suggest, so I throw that open to you. But I really am still trying to get them to change their invited speakers.
Thanks, Milton. There are things that never change in ICANN, I think. Looks like the same session in Singapore. I mean, the same configuration, and that's unfortunate. Yes, ma'am.
This is one area where I would not say we need to learn to accept it. I think this is one area where we need to push back on how these meetings are organized. You know, I can't keep saying, oh, we're bottom up. We had no role in the organization of that meeting. I mean, just except for that email you just got. I mean, the community should have been the one framing the issues, selecting the speakers from the bottom up. So I think we've got to take up this issue with the board about how these meetings are being organized by staff entirely. We have no say in this. It's not acceptable.
It's not staff in this case. It's Patrick. It's some kind of trusted, you know, person that they've designated.
But it is staff and that they've selected this way of doing it. And it's all of the meetings. It's not just this one particular meeting. I mean, this is the way it was with the trademark clearinghouse. You'd look up there and it would be all, you know, law enforcement and trademark maximalists on the panel. And we had no say in that, no organization in that. That's the way it is. Every single ICANN meeting, it gets worse and worse and worse. And I think we need to really begin to push back on this. Not begin. We have been, but step it up a notch.
John LaPrise, I just want to add into that. I was in the law enforcement morning session the other day, and the whole U-shaped table was comprised of law enforcement from Europe and the U.S. Coming from environments where law is very strong, and the solutions they were advocating, especially on the expert working group, were just made no sense for places in the world where the law is weak, or where even police organizations are weak, and it was a nightmare.
Okay. Yes, Klaus. Klaus, please, can you speak on the mic? I'm going to tell you.
Sorry, Klaus, for the record. So, Robin, on the danger that we agree, what would you propose to do?
I think we should send a letter. I think we should write this up and send a letter to the board and ask that it be put on their correspondence page. And actually, I think there would be other stakeholder groups and constituencies that would agree with us and are also very frustrated by the staff manipulation of the scheduling and the organization of these meetings in order to promote the staff agenda. So I think we would find some common cause with our other stakeholder groups and constituencies on this. That's what I propose.
Again, Klaus, for the record, but we also see them in about an hour. At least we should mention it.
Well, perhaps. We already sent them our list of topics. I mean, I would certainly be up for bringing it up if others want to. I will, but organization of meetings?
No.
I mean, if we can bring, it can be any other business, so it's no problem. If you want to bring additional topic, just we need to how to manage really the time. We have just 1 hour. So, and if you want to go through all these topics, we can have any other business and we can bring this issue. So no issue there. But regarding the meeting management, in Singapore, it's not just about NCAJ, but all SO and ACs. In Buenos Aires, they start to have kind of community meeting just after the opening ceremony, and it was the SOAC's leaders to discuss and to agree on the topics. And that time, because with Singapore, they just decided that the first meeting will be only about the IAN, and they sent that SOAC's public meeting to the afternoon, while the SU and AC's leaders agreed prior to that that the cross-community working group on internet governance will take that session, and we had kind of back-and-forth discussion with David Olive. There was a really strong disagreement, but at the end, they took that time slot, and we couldn't change anything. So, we should complain. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So, regarding Diana Stewart's stewardship transition, that will be Professor Mueller. Yes. You want to say something?
Can you just list for me the things we've agreed? Because I've been writing some notes, but I have that we're going to talk about whether the board will accept comments on its own role regarding the ratification of the results of the IANA transition, and that we're going to express our concern about the programming of the meetings. Was there something else?
Hello, I propose privacy, and I'm sorry that I propose something that I would not be ready to lead, but I really think that it's meaningful if we organize a workshop around privacy and we are sending a message to the community, this is an issue for us. I think that it would be meaningful that we raise this with the board, at least our main concerns about the report that has just come out that we have been discussing.
Okay, so...
Should that also include something about the dissent?
Yeah. So, in privacy, we can talk about the expert working group report, but I think we don't have Stephanie here, so... And I don't know who can take the lead on this topic or want to volunteer.
I think in general on this one, we would. I think it would also be worth talking about just the idea that ICANN, on a number of issues, has shown itself to have a real problem with having sufficient internal somewhat within the community, but certainly internal to ICANN, just simple privacy knowledge, and ask that perhaps they should consider getting a staff member with really significant privacy expertise, or otherwise increasing their capacity to deal with privacy problems.
Thanks, David. The question, who will take the lead on this topic?
Which topic? The privacy topic?
Privacy issues.
I'm guessing Stephanie would, but she'll be here in a few minutes. She's off talking about privacy now with Jean-Francois, so she'll... So put a placeholder in there. I think it'll be her.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Maria?
Is it worth our mentioning the discussion we had with Thomas Schneider and Lee Hibbard this morning, and the fact that we're really interested in helping organize a workshop on, you know, human rights and ICANN at Los Angeles? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, I think, as said, we have this any other business as a placeholder, so we can put as many topics we want. I think it's a clear message. We want to organize this workshop and so on, so... Okay, then putting on privacy issue discussion on hold till Stephanie come back, we can go to the ICANN accountability. So we need also leader for this, maybe someone who worked on the drafting the accountability statement for NCAG. Gabriella?
Please repeat the question.
don't worry. I just volunteered you for something to do. But so we're discussing about ICANN accountability, and we need someone to take the lead just to brief the board to explain our position and ask some question. And since you and Niels worked on the drafting the accountability comment for NCAG, I think maybe you can take the lead on this.
Well, as the person who drafted the comment, you know, I'd be very happy to present
concisely
the key points in those comments.
I'd
be happy to do so.
Okay.
One comment on accountability generally, and I know that this has been accountability is something that we've brought up in multiple, you know, in previous meetings with the board. I think that while on this issue generally, while of course I think it's worth mentioning that we I think the board will get the message multiple times that we want to see accountability linked to the IANA transition. I think that every constituency is going to tell them that, and so far they've been rejecting it, but if every constituency tells them, they hopefully will have to at least answer it in a more answer it more helpfully than they have been so far, which is mostly with just kind of shaking their heads and going, no, we don't want to. But I don't think it's worth labouring the point. Like, the board, if the board gets the same message from every constituency, they don't necessarily need to get it in detail from everybody. So, but the other thing I'd like to say about this is while the accountability process is going to be really valuable, I think it's because it is being linked to the IANA transition, it will mostly be looking at sort of high-level accountability processes, and that we still want all the less high-level internal to ICANN accountability processes to be thoroughly reviewed, and like we don't want to just be looking at accountability processes that approximate the accountability issues the sort of the NTIA deal with. We want something with more teeth than request for reconsideration. We want all the existing accountability mechanisms thoroughly reviewed and improved. So that's right. That's my thoughts on accountability.
Okay, thank David. It will be quite short question from you, I think. It will be quite short question from you to the board then.
I'm happy to speak on this one. I just can't speak specifically to our submission on the accountability, which I'm not as familiar.
I will be really happy to hear from other, because I know that other some NCAG members submitted their personal comments about the accountability. And I think that they can expand the issue they think about. So maybe I think Avery and Robin, you submitted a comment about the accountability on your own capacities. So maybe also if you want to expand on that with the board, so it's an opportunity for you.
I have no personal need for it, and since it wasn't something that was endorsed by the NCSG, I'm not sure why I would do that
just
in that
to give
space.
Your own personal view. I mean, I don't think that the meeting is only for the official NCSG view, but for the NCSG members to give their views. We have a diversity of views on this, so I don't. I think it's worthwhile for several people to speak on a topic, and so.
Yeah, sure. I can confirm the diversity of point of view within NCAG. Yes, Gabriella, please.
Just a quick question, because I mean, there's what's in the actual comments themselves, but I was wondering if in the short introduction the people here would be happy for me to refer to more specifically to having human rights being integrated in the bylaws. And as an important element as part of accountability, and maybe throwing up some questions, like bearing in mind the presentation that we had this morning by the Council of Europe, because there were some interesting proposals that I think at least the NCUC intends to reply to. For example, there was a discussion of an advisory expert panel on the human rights issues. So perhaps asking further questions around that.
Yeah, I think it's not the idea just to make a briefing about the comment itself, but quite to expand and ask a specific question to the board to get some answer. And yeah, so I see someone. Yeah, Joe.
John LaPrise again. So I've been taking advantage of my position as a newcomer at this ICANN and hopping through different constituencies. And I know that accountability is a theme that runs through every single meeting I've been at for any constituency. I also want to drive everyone's attention to this morning's meeting when we had the U.S. representatives in and how often the U.S. delegation mentioned multi-stakeholder and failed to mention ICANN. This, at the end of the day, the NTIA is the gatekeeper for this process. And regardless of what ICANN advances to the NTIA, the odds are probably better than even that there'll be some open comment period within the U.S. government for whether to accept this process or not. And if they have this period and they have folks like us commenting that, no, there's no transparency, there's no accountability, this is bad, the NTIA is just going to bounce it back at ICANN. So the argument to make to ICANN is that if you don't have this accountability, you'll submit a proposal to the NTIA, which is doomed to failure. And I think that's one of the things that maybe we can try to get them to understand that their lack of accountability now is going to haunt them if they continue on this path and submit to the NTIA.
Thanks, John. So, any further comment on this? Nena.
Yes?
Should I say something?
Well, you can.
Okay.
Open.
It's a good thing I came by here just for this 1 hour. I've got a lot of meetings booked. I'm going down to look for a room. I've been requested to speak at the At-Large Fair this evening, and I've sent some mails across some lists already to ask for people's feedback, and I'm happy about the things I hear. I plan to put privacy surveillance even. I don't think the speech would be a good one because I'm not very happy about some things, so maybe I will make some people very angry after I finish speaking. But yes, I have human rights and I have accountability and public responsibility and even social to that effect. If there is something else that really, really needs to be added to that 8-minute speech, please pop me an email before 4 p.m. Thank you.
Nina, I forgot to introduce yourself.
My name is Nina. I come from the internet.
Okay. Thanks, Nina. Okay. Regarding the accountability, it's not something to say to the board today or to ask them a question, but I was contacted by Christina Rosette, who is the chair of the intellectual property constituency, and there is an effort to have a joint statement between all constituency and stakeholder group within GNSO joint statement on ICANN accountability. So this is under discussion within the policy committee, and we hope that we agree on that, and then we can make this. It will be a really strong message during the public forum to ICANN regarding the accountability issues, just for information. Yes, Robin.
So just to kind of drill down a little bit about how this is going to play out. So we've got about a day, right, to get this statement together. So what's our time frame? By when must our own PC make its decision as to whether or not it wants to do this? And then
for that you need to ask that the person in your left.
So today, right now, can we make that decision that it's what we want to do?
And I think we have all NCSG PC member here, so yeah, we can.
Okay.
What are we deciding?
Whether or not we want to do a participate in a group statement with the other stakeholder groups on ICANN accountability. I could say that I know most of the statements that I saw from the other stakeholder groups I completely agreed with. I mean, you know, I read Steve Metalitz's comment from the intellectual property constituency on the ICANN accountability issue. I agreed with just about every single word. It was great. So I think this is an area where many of us in the all of the stakeholder groups are saying the same thing, and so the thought was if we could get together and do a joint statement
okay.
on a few key points, that it would be very powerful.
Thanks. It's a historical moment that you are agreeing something with Steve Mitalitz, but things happen. Okay. Since we have all PC members, just if they agree with that, so I can send back to Christina that we want to join this effort. So no objection? No objection. Yes, Avery.
A note of caution. Okay, we can possibly agree on a letter with IPC, but be careful.
Yeah,
because their notions of what accountability mean and our notions of what accountability mean are probably diametrically opposed. And so just be careful who we're lying down with.
Yes, but I think, Avery, we will agree on some high-level principles. So it will be... advising about caution, that's also something historical.
I think we have our long spoon that you use for... But, I mean, I think we do agree with a lot on this. We're, like, straight out, I think we all agree that there's been one successful request for reconsideration ever, and that is probably an indication of a big problem.
Yes, I believe we all agree that accountability is not what it should be, but I don't believe we will agree that easily on what accountability means.
So, Abby, I understand for your concern. We just say we want to join, and we will see at the end what letter we will end up with. So, okay. So I will reply back to Christina to say that we agree on that. Okay. Maybe now I think we don't have any further... comment on the ICANN accountability, but I think, Kathy, you want to add something? No, Kathy. Okay. So if there is no further comment on the accountability, we can move to the privacy. We have Stephanie here. Where is Stephanie? So, Stephanie... Marilia proposed that we discuss about privacy issue, but I think I know that you will be happy to volunteer to talk about this, to take the lead about this topic.
Okay. I apologize for being late. Stephanie Perrin for the record. It's a busy time. So I believe that what the plan for this discussion was to talk about the basic privacy issues that we had on the horizon, right? And figure out how we were going to staff them. So right,
Stephanie. I think you will get like 50 minutes to breathe and to ask the board. So maybe if you can focus on specific topic regarding privacy issues.
Oh, so you want a privacy issue to discuss with the board?
Yes.
One.
No, you can talk about.
And who's going to do the talking? Indeed. What time?
Stephanie, I think you have been, Wendy Seltzer here. I think you, while you were out of the room, you were volunteered. if you accept the volunteering to lead discussions of privacy issues with the board, so at your discretion, some important privacy issues that you think the board might like to hear.
Well, having been up till 3:15 drafting my latest dissent on the EWG report, and being about to hunker down and try and boil that down to a couple of pages, I think it's very difficult for me to think of other issues than the EWG report, although I am also gratified to see the Council of Europe report, which we really need to give our full support to and provide comments and post and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Avery.
I think that if you're available for that 3:30 meeting, for you to give a talk on, so make sure that the board has heard your
side of the story.
Your side of the story, that would be an excellent use of our time with the board on privacy issue. So that would be my thought, is we don't have to come up with something. You've got an issue. You've been boiling it and cooking it and purifying it for a while. That would be a great thing to present to them. That would be my thought.
I would be delighted to do that. I would just like to say that I'm one of these people who actually likes to be liked. I don't know where that fits on the Myers-Briggs scale. That's a funny thing for somebody who's been fighting for privacy for 30 years to say, because popularity has not been, you know, been mine. But I am feeling distinctly unloved right now, and talking to the board in those terms would definitely ice the cupcake. So just keep that in mind. Somebody's going to have to give me a hug when I have to meet the EWG after, you know? Okay?
Okay, Stephanie, we will
perfect.
Have...
You're not
unloved yet. Free
perfect,
hug for,
thank you.
Free hug for Stephanie later. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Okay,
hey, Rafik,
so would you like
can I just
to hear?
Three cheers for Stephanie. She's really put up with an awful lot this week.
Okay. That's good. So
thank you.
We have a queue. Stephanie, sorry. Kathy, want to comment and then back to you.
Yeah, I wanted to do the same thing Maria is doing, but with a little more background. Stephanie was new to ICANN and 16 months ago volunteered to be part of the expert working group. She is one of the key drafters of the data protection law of Canada, and data protection is something we have very little expertise on in ICANN, especially the – sorry, Mayor, but, you know, we're mostly run by American attorneys, and we don't have data protection expertise, and ICANN needs it because that's where the problems are coming from with the who is and privacy, as well as some of the free speech issues that we do have in the U.S. And Stephanie has worked day and night and day for 16 months, the only data protection expert advocate on the expert working group, which has many, many representatives of the intellectual property constituency.
Another round of applause.
Thank you very much.
And if I can add something to put a lie to something that was said. I forget who said it yesterday, but when people were talking about, you know, there having been a lone person, and, oh, no, there was lots of support from everyone else while she was arguing privacy. From the few conversations I had with you along the way, I never had the impression that they were all coming to your assistance all the time. So just whenever we hear that she wasn't alone, I have trouble believing that.
I have to say, in defense of the committee, we've probably moved further in that report to get privacy in. So I think the feeling was, hey, we've made a lot of concessions. That's why I'm not so loved right now. We have in there the secure anonymous credentials for people at risk. It's going to be a lot of work for us to help implement that. We need teams to work on that. We have the basic transformation of the repository from a wide open thing on the who is available through port 43 to a central repository that has a wall around it except for the some few data elements that are publicly available. What my dissent is about, briefly, in a nutshell, is there's still language in there that is confusing. When I see public and published, I think that's public, right? And apparently it isn't. It's behind the gate. It's only accessible to accredited users. Okay? I want the language changed because I think a casual reader is going to see public and think public, right? Yes. And my experience in working groups at ICANN tells me if you don't get the charter right and the original document that goes into the group correctly worded, you're going to be in trouble. So that's sort of thing number one. And thing number two is there is a consent to use your contact data for all permissible purposes. And I have explained as the data protection person there that, and I checked it, that normally can basically eviscerate your data protection rights, except in jurisdictions such as Europe, where Article 29 has opined vociferously and frequently on exactly what you have to have when you consent your way out of things. Nevertheless, we still all sign, click on contract agreements, and that's kind of the model that leaps to mind when you see this. And, of course, that's all permissible purposes, including whether I want to be pestered about my domain name being sold or, you know, law enforcement purposes, which where you might normally expect a warrant or a subpoena. And, I mean, there's about 16 of them. So, and that should be an articulated consent so that you consent for some but not for others. And it's not clear that that is a free consent. So if my data protection law would prevent my data from going into a directory, my personal data, does this gut the data protection? But we have in there words that say that we will actually try to enforce data protection legislation, which is unusual for ICANN. And what else have we got? So those are, there's some key movement forward. It's just that we have to make sure that it is implementable based on the words in the text, in my view. And I may be being, I may be coming from a government environment where the words really mattered to an environment where maybe the words are used more loosely. I mean, I'm unaccustomed to a document of this length where there aren't definitions. There aren't definitions, so it's really hard to be precise when you don't have definitions, right? So, but those are my views, and so that's more or less what the dissent is about. And you'd think it would be easier than it is. It's up on my blog now, at least, and I'll be delighted to put the next blog up as soon as I get through the day. So, if you would like me to talk about that to the board and stay away from process, except that I did get it in not 2 minutes early than the deadline, but three, in fact. Which is really good.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I was late.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. So, and hopefully you will do this concisely with the board. Yep.
Thanks, Wendy Seltzer. A couple of additional points in that discussion. We heard when Fadi announced the report in his opening that the GNSO Council is definitely to be a part of the review process. And so one of our goals, I think, should be to get the Council to focus first on the privacy protections before going into the data collection, and to discuss with the board how they can support council's work in taking the time necessary to get privacy right this time rather than just sweeping up extra data and then figuring it out afterwards or never. Similarly, there's mention very briefly of a risk analysis on all of the data collection elements. That risk analysis is explicitly noted as not yet completed. The report recommends that it should be completed, and I think it would be very helpful for us to say no additional work should go forward until the risk analysis has been done and an appropriate privacy policy has been developed.
Would it help to have two people presenting the privacy issues? Stephanie, would that help you if Wendy to do it together? Just a thought.
Okay.
So that big picture and details.
I think that would be great, just in case I start yawning because of, you know.
I will stop you,
you will?
Stephanie, don't worry.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yes, you need some authority sometimes. Okay, Avery and Robin.
Two things. One, it was just the notion of somebody kicks off the discussion and then others go in. The other thing you had mentioned while you were talking about the ambiguity of words. When it comes time to implementing things and that people are extremely lawyerly or philosophical in their precision of what the words meant. So,
you know, your impression that the words count is very the ambiguity is intentional so that people can argue what they want. You had just mentioned that as a question, so I wanted to give it an answer.
Thank you. The constant refrain of "No, you're not crazy" would be most welcome.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that our members here understand that this is our meeting with the board is an opportunity for all of us to speak with the board. So we have to pick one person to sort of kick off the discussion and get things going. But really, it's wonderful when many of us speak up and say things to the board. So I just want people to understand it's not like we're just going to have one or two persons doing all the talking for NCSG on a topic. It's just about kicking it off, and everyone who feels strongly about an issue or has something to say about an issue should chime in, please. I think that's what the board needs to see, is a robust, diverse discussion coming from us.
Yes, Robin, and the idea is just, I mean, the leader will do the briefing, concise the briefing to the board to ask some questions, and we expect everybody to participate. We need to ask the board and to hopefully we get some answers and some reactions. And I see Sintra. Yes, Sintra?
Thank you, Rafiq. I'd just like to raise the issue with regard to NOMCOM and NPOC's non-presence on that current NOMCOM committee. The NCSG and Avery really spoke out at previous public forums to help really bring this issue home to the board. The last correspondence we've had from the board was the setup of a special working group which would deal with NOMCOM issues. We think that it's too slow and it doesn't really assist us in finding an immediate solution.
Okay, thanks, Sintra. I think we had also this the topic in Singapore meeting, and Marie-Laure asked the questions to the board. So you can ask, I think, at the end, and what I can advise is really to have specific question what the next action from the board. Otherwise, I mean, you will get kind of fuzzy response. So you have a specific question to them about the next actions, or?
I can craft something.
Okay, so
thank you.
We will have the topics at the end. We will go kind of any other business, and you can ask them. Okay, so we have 30 minutes before remaining in this meeting. So maybe it's time just for this part to summarize what we agreed. So we will have this four topic. For Diana, stewardship transition, that will be the leader leading or discussing or whatever we can call it, will be Milton. For the Diana stewardship transition.
Okay.
For the ICANN accountability, it will be Gabriella. For the trademark clearinghouse or URS, it will be Kathy. And for privacy, it will be Stephanie and Wendy. Yes, Wendy?
Timing-wise, I'm not sure I can be there to present. I will try to be in the room to join the discussion, but don't list me as a proposed presenter. Thanks.
Okay, you will be our surprise, Wendy, then. Okay, and kind of any other business? I think we will talk maybe about organizational issue for the meetings and about the Council of Europe paper and ICANN human rights, and also the NOMCOM issues for NPOC representative there. For any other business, I think, Maria, can you speak about this?
So for any other business, the one thing I suggested was talking about the Council of Europe, but I think Gabrielle is going to cover
not,
it. Sorry, is that
Gabriella,
what you were asking?
Robin.
I think it was going to come up.
Yeah, she will talk about the paper, I think, the Council of Europe paper, within the accountability, but just maybe talking about the workshop.
Okay.
And for the organizational issue for meeting, that will be Robin. Okay, good. I think we are done with this this part. We have 10 minutes, so maybe kind of discuss about next step or any other business. So maybe just also for information, tomorrow there will be an NCSG privacy session from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. So sovereign room, if I'm not misspelling it. So you are all invited to join and attend this session. So we'll talk, really it will be about introduction, about historical WHOIS issues, and then talking about the expert working group and so on. We will have some data protection people, privacy activists. Okay? So, yep.
Rafiq, is that a decent-sized room?
I heard it's up to 60 people, and it's the same shape here, U-shaped. So I guess, yep.
Oh, it is. Oh, good.
So the concern will be is to have enough attendance there. Okay. Yes. Yeah, please.
Hi, it's Farnak Hardcastle here. I was just wanting to maybe can highlight something that I don't know if it might be relevant, but I thought about it just at this minute. The data protection law has a big issue with public interest, and that really links with that EU Council report that was just talked about recently. So that might be a link that people might want to think about, because public interest comes a lot in data protection, and they say that, you know, and for example, in data protection law UK 1998, there is always this issue that they say, okay, data protection will go away if public interest comes in. So again, that would be the same question of what is public interest and what's the global public interest. Thank you.
Stephanie, you want to comment this, or do you have any comment on this?
It depends on which law you're talking, whether the public interest is clearly defined as overriding. I mean, in the Canadian law, there's some discussion about public interest in emergencies. So, for instance, when there's a tsunami in Thailand and people say they can't release the names of the missing people because of privacy, there are overriding provisions to let you do that. So, but they're pretty narrow in our legislation, and I believe they're narrow in many many laws. It's a bit of a, like, I don't know whether I'd want to go there with the board, because they don't understand the basics, let alone the finer points, you know. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, that none of them are data protection commissioners, you know. So it's a really arcane thing. But you know what would be a really nice thing to propose, she said on 3 hours sleep? We need some kind of ICANN to support information about data protection, because you will search in vain on the ICANN site for sort of basic primers about the background, you know, a collection of papers on, okay, this is a directory. Similar to these other directories, this is how data protection regimes have ruled on directories. This is how Supreme Courts have ruled on directories, she said, having a nice, fresh, newly minted Supreme Court decision in Canada that we're rather proud of. You know, that would be useful, because, frankly, one of the problems in the discourse here is not the lack of goodwill, although, you know, one may question in some quarters whether there's goodwill, but just general ignorance. You can't even embark on a conversation, because this is just alien to people. You know, if it isn't a click, I agree, they don't understand it. So, just saying. That might be something we could put up, right?
You, Stephanie, you are asking me? You are asking me a question? I hope not.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so I mean, like in any other business, if you have any question, any further comment that you want to add, so it's time. No. Oh, yes, please.
Hi, Gonna Last Brink. This is totally different from what we've discussed, but I just thought I'd mention the at-large accessibility task force in regard to accessibility for people with disability, including websites, ICANN processes, policies, and so forth. I'll be presenting at the CCNSO meeting this afternoon on web accessibility, and this is an opportunity to raise awareness among CCTLDs that there could be a public interest responsibility to share the information on improving access for everyone, including people with disabilities, when registrants apply for new domains. So anyone who's interested in that topic, I'm happy to discuss it further. There's an accessibility working group list, or please come along to the CCNSO meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. I think it's important to talk about accessibility. It's something overlooked, I think. Okay. I guess many people want to leave, and we have just 5 minutes left. If there is nothing on the table, I think... Yeah, Kathy. It's at 4:30, and I will ask a native speaker to spell... 3:30, sorry, 3:30, I don't know. 3:30.
Sandringham.
Yeah. It's Sandringham.
Yeah. Sorry, I avoided to pronounce it. I was not sure about this.
Level 3, West Wing, Sandringham.
Wow, we get Google Map voice. Okay, thanks. So, I think we covered everything. So we will meet in 30 minutes for the meeting with the board. Thank you, everybody, for joining today. I hope that you enjoy the discussion about GNSO policy. Sorry, that's so, see you soon.
I'm
some of them never go with us.